Today, a member of the Electoral College representing the certified winner cast their votes for president and vice president of the United States in an act just as old as our nation itself. And once again, in America, the rule of law, our Constitution, and the will of the people prevail.
Earlier this week, Joe Biden was elected President of the United States. And no, you're not listening to the wrong explainer, nor have we mistakenly uploaded one from early November.
Oh, Christy!
Sorry!
Unless we have, which would be ironic, but then you wouldn't be listening to this one, so we'll never know. Many, if not most, would probably assume that Joe Biden was, in fact, elected back on Election Day, November 3rd. This is not the case, however, and not just in the way that President Donald Trump thinks. And we'll have more on him shortly, on the basis that we might not have many more chances to make fun of him until President-elect Eric Trump nominates him as Secretary of State 4 years from now. A quirk of America's electoral system is that when voters vote for a president, they're not really voting for a president. They are instead electing the people who will elect the president. These people are called electors, reasonably enough, and each state gets one for every member of its congressional delegation, i.e. every member it sends to the House of Representatives plus its two senators. And members of the House are apportioned in proportion to population, which is why, under the present dispensation, crowded California gets 55 electors, teeming Texas gets 38, and the sparsely inhabited likes of Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, and both Dakotas get 3 each. The deal is generally that whichever presidential candidate wins a given state wins all that state's electors. However, Nebraska and Maine always split theirs in proportion to the local vote, the dingbats. This year, Nebraska went 5-4 for Biden, Maine 3-1, and occasionally electors go rogue and vote their conscience and or whim and or delusion. These weirdos are known as faithless electors. There weren't any this year, but there were 10 in 2016. 16, including four of Washington State's 12 electors, three of whom abandoned Hillary Clinton for former Secretary of State and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Colin Powell, and one of whom attempted a coup in the name of Native American activist Faith Spotted Eagle.
She, over the years, has exemplified and showed herself to be a leader, not an elected, but a well-grounded leader with traditions and values.
This recalcitrant quartet were fined $1,000 each, a curiously meager amount, and certainly a small price to pay for eternal inclusion in explainers addressing the Electoral College. The Electoral College is a curious apparatus, as we notice in those elections, including 2000 and 2016, when the candidate who wins the most popular votes ends up not becoming president. But there is kind of a logic to it. It stops American politics being entirely suborned to the big states and ensures that presidential candidates have to win over voters right across the vast and diverse country they seek to lead. It is the Electoral College we have to thank for the quadrennial spectacle of aspirants to Earth's most powerful office, fielding questions from querulous town halls in Iowa and New Hampshire, and pretending they've ever heard of Vermont.
Beautiful. We're in Vermont. That air is so nice and clean. I'm breathing so much of that air.
This year, anyway, the Electoral College has voted as instructed by the voters with no shenanigans and has therefore duly elected Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. as the 46th President of the United States to be inaugurated on January 20th alongside Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Bookmakers have at last paid out, ending the spree of those who'd spent the last 6 weeks piling into Biden, figuring that odds that short were still some way better than bank interest. Even President Vladimir Putin of Russia has congratulated the president-elect,
reportedly writing in part, "I am ready for interaction and contacts with you."
Even Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky has done likewise.
The president-elect is no stranger to the Senate. He's devoted himself to public service for many years.
The tin lid would appear to be on it. But does this also signal an end to the refusal of the incumbent to accept the result and or reality? Have you met Donald Trump? As of this broadcast, the president was still bleating about the election being rigged, retweeting conspiracist screeds composed by obvious lunatics, and generally blaming everyone for his woes but himself. But does he have any actual options? No, and yes. No, in that all formal recourses are now exhausted. The Electoral College has voted, and the Supreme Court, which Trump appeared to believe owed him something for appointing three of them, have declined to take an interest in the ridiculous lawsuits filed on Trump's behalf. But yes, in that Trump still possesses considerable power to make a thundering nuisance of himself. His base is numerous, many of them angry, some of them potentially dangerous. Increasingly lurid appeals to their credulity could have grim consequences, especially if Trump does, as seems plausible, skip Biden's inauguration to hold a rival event of his own. Trump has 5 weeks to make the transition as difficult as possible, performing the political equivalent of sewing prawns into the curtains before moving out, wrecking institutions at home, stoking trouble abroad, and Trump being Trump, you wouldn't bet against the thing with the prawns. And he will do all this with an eye to revenge 4 years from now. What the Electoral College taketh away, it can giveth. Infamously, Hillary Clinton won a national margin of 2.9 million votes and lost the presidency by 77,744 across a few key states. Terrifyingly, Trump lost by a national margin of 7.1 million and was only 65,009 from 4 more years. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.